The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. Welcome, everybody, to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. We're back, and this is our 30th episode.
Yeah, that's our 30th episode, everyone.
Sorry, we were distracted.
Yeah, we're sorry.
It's okay. We don't have to worry about the Facebook stuff. The main thing is the radio, because we love you guys the most.
That is true.
We love you guys the most. She wants some cake. Sunny just said she wants some cake. We're monitoring our Facebook Live, folks. So, Sarah, if you would make your way on over here, what do we have today for our 30th episode?
Apologizing, people.
That's 30. It's actually 30 plus weeks of Eyes on Psych, and because we have had some reruns, because we've missed a few weeks because Lewis has abandoned us.
Eyes on Psych
and gone out of the country and things like that. But
Chris has gone hunting a few times.
I have not gone hunting. I have no idea what you're talking about. Shut up, Lewis.
It's the big 3-0 for Eyes on Psych, people.
Indeed.
We're 30 episodes old.
So 30? what's our topic today?
Today's topic, I thought I'd go with something dramatic, so somebody give me a drum roll. Hoarding. Do you have stuff?
You or watch your mouth, young lady. Oh, hoarding. Never mind.
No. Do you have stuff or does your stuff have you?
It has me, all right.
Oh, God. This is what I get for being in a room with boys.
Under Look my at how seat. Immature he's being over here. Point up. God. Look at all of us. Stand up. That'll make it easier.
Kareen Metcalf?
Uh-huh.
Is that, okay, I said it. Metcalf. It only took me 5 tries, but I said it right.
Hello.
She says, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
A whoop, whoop, a ball with a ball, to bang, the dang, diggy, diggy.
And a whoop, doom, doom, dang, ding. Bang, ching.
A boogie said the boogie said, up, drop the boogie.
Oh, good.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, the subject today. God, I'm already getting this off track.
You so are. It's all your fault.
It is. It is my fault.
It's always your fault, though. So, we're used to it.
Well, so it's hoarding.
Yes, we are talking about hoarding today. Hoarding has become one of those new psychological sensations. I mean, we see all the TV shows about it and, you know, the dramatic music in the background, dun, 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 as they walk into a house that usually makes us want to either clean something or throw up or both. Maybe not in that order. But those of us who don't suffer from the outward symptoms that come along with hoarding, we can't possibly understand why anyone would be living like this the way they live. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's really disgusting a lot of the times when you see.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're actually clean hoarders. They just, you can't walk around.
Exactly. There's several different types of hoarders, which we will discuss today.
I think the worst kind of hoarders are the ones who would typically be fairly clean, but they have pets and a lot of them. Oh, yeah. Dear Lord.
My personal, I have a lot of, I have a particular family member. I have a lot of history with hoarding, and this particular family member makes other family members physically sick with their hoarding. So that personally to me is the worst kind of hoarding, is when you're affecting other people and pets for that matter. If you are making anyone else sick because of this, it's just, that's the most selfish thing you can do, in my personal opinion.
Indeed. I agree.
So,
ooh, apparently we have someone watching from Canada, Amy
ooh,
Bernard.
Hello.
And Gary Willis likes your shirt, Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
Nice.
I got this in Rothenburg, Germany. It was quite awesome.
Me.
Don't be jealous.
I am a little bit jealous.
Look at me, I'm Lewis, and I've traveled the world, and I'm so cool.
I've crossed oceans because I'm not afraid of sharks.
Oh, I am.
Mm-hmm. Not as afraid as I am. I'm more afraid than you.
So I'm taking my entire family for Christmas to Jamaica.
Take me with you.
Are you going to teach them how to do the calypso, man?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is how cool our host is right here. Okay. So some hoarders get to the point where they have so many pets, just like you said, underneath so much stuff. Both their health and the health of the animals suffer. So it's really tragic watching these kinds of cases. And one of the most interesting thing is a lot of what these people keep is trash. Mm. Magazines, newspapers, actual trash.
People.
Scraps of things.
Family members.
Yeah, maybe not that. Maybe not that.
That's what people say I hoard. They say I hoard people. I'm a collector of people.
That's a way better collection in my personal
life. I knew you were a Hannibal Lecter type of person. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Very, very maniacal in here.
Oh, it puts a lotion on its skin. Fly away, girls in here.
Girls, I need comments. I need some estrogen in here, please.
Well, Raymond Henry is watching. He's a pal of mine. Known him forever and ever and ever.
Hey, Ray.
What's that?
Hey, Ray, Ray. Okay. Hey, Ray, Ray. Hey, Ray, Ray. Hey, Ray, Ray. Anybody? No, come on.
Okay, no. Okay, so these cases usually end in sadness and or destitution. Yeah, just to make it more serious and sad in here. My grandfather, for example, is excessively sick. He has Parkinson's due to the amount of hoarding my grandmother does.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah, the amount of boxes and dirt and dust in the house cause him to not be able to take care of himself, and he can't get around. He sits in a chair all day long. She won't let a nurse come in and clean. She won't let a nurse come and clean him. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's awful.
That is awful.
It's really terrible. I get really angry when I watch Hoarders. I can't even watch it because it makes me so angry.
So don't take this personal, since it's hearsay and I don't see it myself. But if I would, I'd have to call APS.
Yeah.
Speak into the mic, Lewis.
So if you see something like that and you know that someone is being is put in danger that way, you need to contact the Department of Public State Health Service.
APS has been contacted already.
And they do nothing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's because he's still...
alive?
He's still an adult. He hasn't lost his mind. He doesn't have any mental issues.
Right.
So because he can make the decision to stay,
they
which he is,
him, yeah.
They, yeah, so he won't leave, so they can't fix it.
Right.
So,
things like that always anger me just a little bit because it's like, he's still breathing, so it's good, obviously. It's like, you can't do anything until after?
Unless he makes a complaint, you can't even bring a case against her. You can't.
That's true.
So you can't even sue her for what she's doing to him. So it's horrible. The hoarders are horrible. It's so horrible.
Okay, so do y'all understand the psychological reason for hoarding?
No.
Please explain it to me.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, no, I don't. I'm saying yes. Please explain it.
Yeah. What he said.
Oftentimes, it stems from people who, there's multiple reasons. So let me give you one example. If you grew up extremely impoverished and things were constantly taken from you,
right.
you form a habit of trying to hold on to what you do have. There's always a use for something.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a use for that toilet paper. There's always a
use
for whatever.
Especially anyone who's gone through the Great Depression, they have tendencies towards that.
People from third world countries.
That too.
Right. Then there's other things. There's other reasons that can take place. For instance, you could have... I hate when I have those brain farts.
Come on now. Speak up, Lewis. The people from over there can't hear us.
Y'all can hear me over
just
there.
Just take
right?
a dramatic pause.
We're filming from like so many different angles. It's crazy.
Right.
Almost seems professional.
So the main problem with hoarding is that it's a desire and a need for possessions. So some people have that issue when it comes to they don't feel like they own anything or have any control of anything in their life. So everything they find, they want to keep, they want to own, they want to hold.
That's the only thing
they can't
control.
That sounds like some Jeffrey Dahmer stuff.
Right. Yeah. Now there's another form that's opposite of hoarding that I like. Have y'all done any of the research on the minimalists?
No.
Yes.
It's absolutely fascinating.
Please explain.
I think it wasn't Henry David Thoreau. It was Plato's Allegory of the Cave. Anyhow.
Plato's Allegory of the Cave. I know that. Yeah.
I think a lot of men are naturally minimalists.
Right.
That's not always the case.
You see dudes living together like in a roommate type of situations like, hey, that crate also doubles as a table. We don't need a table.
Oh, my God.
So anyhow, there's one that talks about society being changed and everywhere you look, men are in chains. And therefore, we're all slaves of our society instead of in control of ourselves as independents.
Right.
The reason I like the minimalist faction is because they understand that possessions enslave you. Possessions chain you down to a specific place and time and environment. Because you have to control them, you have to protect them, you have to watch them,
maintain them. Yeah.
So the minimalist lifestyle is
pretty fascinating.
It's freeing.
That sounds really cool.
Would you say that the minimal lifestyle is unhealthy?
No. Hmm. Because they have more time to do actual social interactions, to travel, to explore the world, to not worry about being stuck in one place. Mm-hmm. They're very, very non-materialistic, and that's what I like. The materials that we buy, that we want to own, that we want to possess, actually control us. It keeps us locked down to protect them, to have it, to find it, to get the next best thing. Mm-hmm. We're never happy. Everything that I've ever bought never made me happy. Well, my cuckoo clock's making me happy. But usually things don't make you happy that you possess.
There's this one particular, I wish I knew her name. It's The Joy of Tidying Up is the book.
Say?
Oh, no, Chris, don't do it.
What are you going to say,
He's
Chris?
He's smiling so big right now, I don't want to hear what's in his head.
I just, it's a counselor that collects cuckoo clocks. He likes to be surrounded by cuckoos.
Right.
He enjoys cuckoo. Yes.
But y'all get the principle. Basically, a possession, you're not happy. I guarantee you, you might buy something, you're happy. You have that sensation of the endorphin release for approximately a few seconds. And then guess what? You throw it in the back of your car and it ends up in some shelf on your house.
Right.
If you have nothing but you have money, and use that money to travel the world, to look at different environments, to meet new people, to take friends out to dinner, to do those type of things, you find a lot more happiness in life.
Yeah, that definitely is a very a lot of people feel like spending money on entertainment of that kind is wasting money. They actually feel like, because you don't have anything to show for it except for memories, they actually feel like that's a waste, which is a weird backwards concept.
Well, people can't steal your memories.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, yes, they can.
Yes.
I can beat them out of you.
Oh, God. But like I was saying, there was this book. I forget the name of the author, but it's called The Joy of Tidying Up. And her principle is, if you have bought something and you have it in your closet and you haven't like worn it in forever, or you haven't used it in forever, but this made you so happy when you first bought it, or you wore it a whole lot when you first got it, and now you no longer use it. She's from, I think she's from Japan. And so she says, you just thank that piece or that object for the joy that it brought you, for the amount of time it was in your life.
That sounds like a crazy person.
And then you let it go. It's kind of just a mental walkthrough of, you know, thank you for that. Thank you for those memories, and moving right along.
No, I'm
so that you don't feel like you're dismissing
talking
something.
To inanimate objects is insane. Isn't that right, telephone?
Eagles fly alone, Chris.
Oh, my God.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Just something Joseph's been saying.
Eagles fly alone, but they don't talk to their feathers.
Yeah, Joseph said earlier today, he's all like, does an eagle care what a pigeon thinks?
Like, Probably not.
That's so bad.
I don't know. I don't think.
Why am I getting us off topic?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So these frustrating questions that hoarders bring up, I mean, why are they doing it? Which Lewis has explained some. And don't they care about anyone else but themselves? And what is it they're trying to keep?
Control.
Exactly. And without...
Thank you for summing the whole damn thing up so quickly, Lewis, that now we're reaching...
He just like gets to the point.
He's like, basically, I'm going to ruin the show. Screw you, 30th episode. Take that.
Oh, my God. Y'all didn't bring me a gift.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
Lewis, might I offer you this beet juice?
I brought that crap for you.
No, you didn't. And you called it crap.
Hey, I'm trying to be healthy all of us.
No, wait. Have you tasted it yet?
Yes.
Put it in your mouth. No, wait. I want to see you taste that again, because you made you made a great face when you tasted that stuff.
Oh, no. Listeners, it's Ginger Soother by The Ginger People.
And he looked like he was about to die when he drank. He can't even keep a straight
face. It's a lot of blinking.
Okay. We do have a long show today.
Let's go. So without exception, hoarding is always accompanied by varying levels of anxiety, and sometimes develops alongside other mental illnesses such as dementia and or schizophrenia.
Nice.
So, okay. I'm going to keep going.
Just saying, if you're schizophrenic, what better thing to do than create your own labyrinth?
Right. So
that's so sad.
dementia.
Where did I get this from? I'm sorry.
Someone's.
Oh, no.
Let's just.
I had a thought, and I'm going to let that one go.
Please.
So all of you out there who think we're being cold-hearted, anybody that works with people, especially first responders, doctors, counselors, we can all have a sick sense of humor, and it's just because it helps us to get through some of the sadness that we actually see day to day.
Remember that episode we had about losing a loved one? I mean, I think that was, we laughed the hardest on that particular episode.
What do you mean losing a loved one?
Yeah, helping somebody through the loss of a loved one.
It's not exactly as if they're a set of car keys now, is it? Oh, losing them. Yes.
What did you think I said?
Losing a loved one, like at the shopping market?
Like your kids hiding underneath the clothes and the... in the store.
Yeah, totally.
That's not... Okay, never mind.
Sometimes you want them to be
alive. Oh, gosh. Mm.
Okay.
Now we're getting to a bad place.
Yes.
So, apparently there is very little psychological studies compared to other mental illnesses in psychology. And so, recent neuroimaging reveals peculiar commonalities among hoarders, including several emotional attachments to inanimate objects and extreme anxiety when making decisions.
I haven't heard a silence that long in the middle of a sentence since Barack Obama was president.
I caught Lewis's like blank space over here.
My fellow Americans, I just want to tell you one thing. That was awesome.
I lost my spot for a second. Give me a break.
That was awesome.
Jeez. Anyway, so there's very little on hoarding as far as psychology goes. And so hoarding is considered an offshoot of OCD. Did you know that, Chris?
What?
Yeah, I know. I didn't think so either.
I mean, it makes sense, but it's kind of almost like the opposite evil stepsister of OCD.
Right?
If you think about it, it's an obsession and it's a compulsion.
That makes sense.
It's true.
Recently, this categorization is being reevaluated, so we don't know where it will end up. It probably will have its own category one of these days. But it's estimated that about 1 in 4 people with OCD also are compulsive hoarders. So it is possible that sometime in the future, hoarding will become its own distinct category.
It'll be HOCD.
What's
HOCD?
What that is?
Hoarding. Obsessive. Compulsive disorder.
You see how we do this? Okay, so everyone, when they add that to the DSM-5, I want my money.
Yeah.
What the hell is a DSM-5?
It's a Diagnostician Statistical Manual. It's the Holy Bible of psychology and mental health.
Ooh, is that like available to the common person?
No. And it's pretty expensive too.
I can imagine.
I can imagine.
I guess a common person could buy it, but why would you want
to? Yeah, why would you?
Well, I just...
It's a very expensive dictionary.
Ha!
Right. Seriously. Okay, so question.
The Cuckoo's Dictionary, Chapter 1.
Lewis, as far as it having its own category, do you believe hoarding should have its own, or do you think obsessive compulsive disorder is enough for it?
I think it's enough. I think we're trying to overcategorize and overclassify. I've been
Thank you so much.
I think we just need to have a spirit and treat people well.
I think that there are way too many labels for way too many obscure and really not that severe personality disorders.
One of the things I want y'all to remember, there are a few diagnoses in which you need to have medication and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. But for the majority of things, it's not what's wrong with the person.
It's arguable that you can treat it with therapy.
Right. Well, no, actually... There's nothing that therapy cannot treat completely except for...
Like schizophrenia or...
No, actually, that's okay. Well, you need medication. Okay, so you need medication for schizophrenia and bipolar. The one that you cannot treat with either medication and you kind of treat it with therapy, but not really, is borderline personality disorder.
See, I don't understand what the hell exactly they're medicating, because most people with schizophrenia, if they take the pills that they're supposed to take...
Mm-hmm.
Then they're still schizophrenic.
Well, here's the thing that's sad. If you actually, you can work with just about anybody and help them become better. It's things that have happened to them, not what's wrong with them.
Right.
And for the majority of history, schizophrenics, things of that nature, were considered the wise men. You know, the wise
ones. Yeah. Well,
so
and
they
I've always
see what we can't see.
Well, and I've always been terrified that maybe schizophrenics were the sane ones and we are the crazy ones.
Oh, God.
Well, we have been telling you for a long time, Chris.
I will come over this chair.
You are in a padded room for a reason.
This has become a vicious cycle that will.
You know, my
end.
Mother always thought I'd end up in a padded room, and she was correct.
She
not
was.
Quite what she had in mind.
So, does Dr. Joseph look like Dr. Joseph to you still?
The dude's 12.
Do you remember Dr. Joseph, right?
Okay.
This is Joseph.
This is Joseph.
Sure. Sure.
Look at his eyes. Okay, what's up, Adam?
All right, speaking of cycles, the vicious cycle that hoarding starts. Hoarding both relieves anxiety and produces it. The more hoarders accumulate, the more insulated they feel from the world and its dangers. Of course, the more they accumulate, the more isolated they become from the world, including family and friends especially. I've seen this quite a few times with my family. Even the thought of discarding or cleaning out hoarded items produces extreme feelings of panic and discomfort. Oh my God.
You know,
the times my grandmother has come off her rocker, and I am not speaking figuratively.
She wasn't sitting outside of a Cracker Barrel when this happened?
Oh my God. I swear, my uncle got so fed up with it at one point, he took a bunch of her stuff while she was gone, buried it in the backyard.
You know, he could have just thrown it in the alley or something.
Okay, then no. She would go to the alley and get it.
We'll put it in the dumpster.
She'd go to the dumpster and get it. This
put
is
it
how
like,
crazy this woman
is. Put it like
is.
Three dumpsters down.
Seriously, and then she'd be whining at him the whole time. What's better is to make it disappear as if it was never there. That's the only way to handle it. And it's been done several times.
Well, yeah, but if he buried it, I mean, she could see where he dug the holes and he damaged his yard in the process.
I like your jade bracelet.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for changing the subject. I hate you.
I'm sorry.
Trish got it for me, my boss.
Hey, Boston, what's up there, guy? He's watching right now. Boston.
Okay.
It's my friend right there. No, he really is.
Yeah, he's cool.
I love you, Boston. Why'd you have to leave me? I thought we had something special.
Oh, my God. Okay, so question. This cycle of anxiety we're talking about, is it something like an addiction? Because obsession and addiction, there's a difference. And because these symptoms mimic an addictive person, it's interesting because they keep up the behavior even after it takes over their lives, hurts their families, their friends, their pets, anything they care about before the addiction or the obsession starts. Are they addicted to this feeling stuff gives them?
I like the idea that they're insulating themselves from the world. That makes a lot of sense visually.
That's more logistic or logical. Mm-hmm. So look at it this way. They lose their connection with the world and they start to give personification to the inanimate objects. And so therefore,
gotcha.
The inanimate objects start to become their friends, their what they need sometimes. There's many different psychoses. Well,
yeah, because things not don't talk back to you and tell you you're crazy.
That's not true. Sometimes some of the cases... I believe it does.
Wouldn't that be like straight up just
psychosis?
Oh, geez. Yeah. That's
I've
just
seen
beyond.
So many, I've seen many cases. But anyhow, you don't tell them that because that's not the way to help them.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay, you're telling me.
Chris is losing it.
I'm trying to be as sensitive as possible, but you're telling me that you have had to look someone square in the eye who is talking to things as if they were real things.
Mm-hmm.
And
not do one little blink of the eye,
and act like they were actually talking back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't quite do that, but you don't bring attention to them being
okay. That scares the hell out of me, Lewis.
You know why?
Yeah. Because if I were crazy, you wouldn't freaking tell me.
I would tell you. I've been telling you. You don't believe me. But anyway.
Oh, God.
Everything has its time and its place.
Yeah, it absolutely. But, see, this is why Lewis is the counselor, and we are not.
Yeah.
You don't want to
break their you don't want to shatter their ego and what they're seeing as their reality too quickly. You need to make sure that you have them at a stable formation in a stable place.
You know what? Listening to this right here, it just dawned on me because before I was in radio, I thought about becoming a counselor. I was like, I could counsel people. And I would be a horrible counselor.
Oh, so bad.
I cannot pretend with people. It's like, no, you're stupid.
You're crazy.
What's sad is that he really believes he's a radio host. After all these years, we've been working with him
seriously?
In this padded room, and he still thinks...
It's sad. Okay. It's just sad.
He's looking at me like, is it true?
But you don't,
hey, at least this padded room...
You don't want to shatter his reality, Lewis. You don't want to shatter his reality.
At least this padded room is air conditioned.
Tell him what you're going
in
through.
In my alter reality that you're saying that I have, I'm going to a home where the AC went out 3 weeks ago and the bastards that are supposed to cover it aren't doing it. So in my fantasy world,
That can ruin you. For
that
real.
Sucks. My real life is better than my fantasy life.
We're so used to air conditioning and the common things of modern lifestyle. It really does suck. When my air conditioner went out, I was the biggest.
Oh, and you know really what I hate? Because you call the call center, you're like, my air conditioner has been out for 3 weeks.
And
okay, sir, I will
you.
Get right on that. You've never had air conditioning, have you? No, sir, I have not. I'm a jackass, aren't I? Yes, you are. How do you complain about your AC? I mean, that's messed up. You're not. If you're an AC company, you can't send your calls to the Caribbean.
You just can't.
And I asked him, I was like, where are you from? He's like, I am from the Caribbean. And I'm like, it's hot there. I was like, it's hot there. And he's like, oh, it's very hot. And I was like, you've never had air conditioning, have you? No, I have not.
Your Caribbean guy sounds more Indian.
Shut the hell up. I don't know.
Our air conditioning is our sweat.
I don't know what a Caribbean guy is. Oh, wait, Caribbean is more like Jamaica.
No, man. No, man. No, John.
No, he sounded Indian, though.
You know not what you're talking about. No air conditioning, man.
He did sound Indian, but he said he was from the Caribbean. I don't know if he's lying to me.
He was lying.
Probably.
I'm from the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's an ethnocentric type, you know, are we on this part of the world or this part of the world?
But the point is, nothing makes you feel more like a jackass and be like, I've been 3 weeks without air conditioning. And the guy's like, what is air conditioning?
Like, I don't even know what that is.
Is that the fan my grandma puts on in my face while she's waxing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was so angry.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
So hoarding.
Sorry.
What are they afraid of? It's like this hold it has on them, much like a drug, perhaps. I mean, some reasoning could be age. While severe hoarding is most common in middle-aged adults around the age of 50, their hoarding tendencies begin around ages 11 to 15. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm. 11 to 15.
That's the developmental stage when, well, roughly around 12 is when they start forming their adult brain. And then they start to go into their prefrontal cortex even more.
Well, what are some of the early warning signs if you have a kid from 11 to 14?
I got it. During these
Sarah. I want to see if he knows.
During these early teenage years, they typically say broken toys, outdated school papers, and pencil nubs.
Mm-hmm. Pencil nubs?
Things you would normally throw away.
Oh, then my son is good. He barely keeps he can barely keep a damn pencil.
You're good.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean you don't have a pencil? I bought you three yesterday. I do not recall.
I don't know, Dad.
He played
I don't
that
know.
Pencil breaking game.
Probably.
Oh, you're probably right.
He's in trouble now.
I'm going to murder him.
Okay.
I mean, no, I'm not. This is recorded. No.
Nope.
Not murdering children.
Another reasoning why someone might have tendencies towards hoarding. I can talk. Personality.
Oh, my goodness.
Oftentimes.
No. I like the subject you were about to talk about.
That's so not where we're going.
That seems way more interesting.
So where we're going. Oftentimes, hoarders struggle with severe indecisiveness and anxiety. So that's a personality type we're talking about now.
Huh.
So anybody who has issues with anxiety might have a tendency towards hoarding.
I think I'm just, my bloodline is like that of a chihuahua.
Oh,
we all have that like, kind of like worrying, like, what's going to happen? My son has it. I have anxiety. But that's the thing. Hoarding is a real thing. Mm-hmm. But there's so many personalities. That's what I was really liking about the fact that you were like, we're categorizing too many different things because now everybody has something. If you get checked up by somebody, everybody's going to have something. And it's like, really? When do we just not be? Why are we not just people anymore?
Right. Once again, that's my problem with all the classifications.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense. Something I really wanted to ask you about, Lewis, is another reasoning for tendencies towards hoarding is genetics. And I wasn't so sure about that when I read that on Psychology Today. It says, although hoarding is not an entirely genetic disorder, there is some genetic predisposition involved in this disorder. Is there any merit to that?
Yes, because of what we've talked about before. What were you going to say, Chris?
Well, there's a comedian. She's Eastern Asian, and she said that her mother is a hoarder. And it's mostly because she grew up in a third world country.
Right.
Where
everything has a use.
Well, and they were being, you know, invaded by other countries when her mom was growing up, and she kept everything.
Yeah, but is that genetic or is that environmental?
Well, I mean, the mother might tend to pass those tendencies on.
Yeah, it becomes genetic.
Okay.
But I wouldn't really call that genetic as much as I would just, you know, parental. I mean, it's a parental.
You'd have to have an adopted child that came from that hoarding mother go to some non-hoarding parents in order to prove that it was genetic.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
So to answer your question, yes.
We're out of
certain
time.
Things like anxiety and those things do have predispositions that lead to the predisposition of hoarding. So, yes.
Another reason.
Wait. I'm sorry. We're out of time.
We're completely out of time.
This is our 30th. Give us another 10 seconds.
We'll make it exactly 30 minutes. Ding, 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 ding. We win.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I have to stop you there. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry to be the party pooper. But we can't hoard time. Thank you for watching or listening to Eyes on Psych.
Bye, guys.
Let's see you later.
That's all the time we have for Eyes on Psych this week. Please join us again next week, where we'll talk about more issues, more solution techniques, and more services available to you in your community. Until then, hang in there. You're stronger than you realize.
This program was a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.